Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Trust for the word of the Lord tonight. Message tonight is a Gideon army. A Gideon army. Most of us are familiar with Judges chapter 6 and the chapters following that on how a man called Gideon with an army of 300 men routed an army of 135,000. Gideon and the 300 took out 135,000 warriors of the enemy. And as they did, as the Lord gave that initial breakthrough through 300, with man, things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. God can take a remnant. God can take a 300 to give a breakthrough to a nation, to a people. And Gideon and the 300, as that initial breakthrough took place, then some of the other tribes began to gather in and they began to fight this battle as well until 120,000 enemy troops were defeated and fallen to the earth. But there were 15,000 that fled. And Gideon and the 300, while the other army was already resting on its laurels, while they were already taking their ease, Gideon and the 300 pursued the 15,000 across the valley of Jezreel, down the Jordan plain and Jordan Valley and across the fords of Jordan, 150-mile pursuit till they took out every last warrior of the enemy. How many want to be a part of an army like that? A Gideon army. Now, the interesting part prophetically is that the Bible says this army was raised up at the beginning of the middle watch. The beginning of the middle watch. We know midnight, there's going to be a cry that comes. The bridegroom at midnight, the cry goes out, the bridegroom comes. The beginning of the middle watch was just before the midnight hour. The middle watch in Hebrew time was from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m., and this army was raised up, and I know that the Lord is seeking to raise up an army in this hour before the return of Jesus Christ, and I want to be part of that army. I want to be part of that people, and I know you do too. The only tension I feel in my spirit tonight is that some of you might not believe what I'm going to say, but I trust that the Lord will give us ears to hear, and we'll open our hearts. Let's turn to Judges chapter 6 and read about Gideon. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite. While his son Gideon threshed wheat in the wine press in order to hide it from the enemies, the Midianites. He threshed wheat in a wine press in order to hide it. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Gideon said to him, "O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours. Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" So he said to him, "O my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." It all starts with an individual. It starts with one person, and that person tonight is you. You are the Gideon in this story tonight. You're who the Spirit of God is calling in this hour. And the Lord says he is with you, mighty man of valor. Now, Gideon was nothing in himself, and he knew that, and none of us are. We are nothing. He is everything. But there was in Gideon a heart to know the Lord. There was in him a desire to know the Lord. And if you have a heart after God, the Lord will visit you. You don't receive an angelic visitation. You don't receive a voice from heaven unless there is a heart in you to respond to the Lord. And Gideon had that kind of a heart. He was longing for the miracles. He was longing to see a breakthrough in his decadent society, a compromised Baal society all around him, and his own family and household had Baal gods. The people of the land who were supposed to be serving God with all their heart had given themselves over to idolatry, mixing God and the world into their lives, and they were powerless, and the enemy was taking them on and taking them out. If you have a heart for God, you will receive visitation from the Lord. The Lord will come by his presence and speak to your life. Now, Gideon was threshing wheat by the wine press. You don't thresh wheat in a wine press. You thresh wheat out on the plateaus of the hills so the wind can blow through the threshing floors and separate the chaff from the wheat. But Gideon had the wheat by the wine press because he was hiding it from the enemy. He wanted to at least get a little bit of wheat harvest in his life. The wheat harvest came after the barley harvest. See, the people of God at that time were barley feeders. They were eating the bread of an impoverished people, the bread of the poor, because the enemy said, we'll let them eat the barley bread, which was the first harvest that took place in basically April. You can take the barley harvest, the lesser of the foods, the lesser of the provision of God, but we're going to come in 6 or 7 weeks down into the end of May and June, and we're going to take the wheat harvest. We're going to take the best harvest out of the earth. And that's what the enemy did year after year, 7 years. 7 years the enemy came, and the people of God lived on barley bread while the enemies took the wheat. The wheat is the best. The wheat is what God wants to give his people. He wants us to feed on the provision of the land. But sometimes the enemy puts on as the people of God an imposed slavery of sorts, and that's what these people were under. The enemy said, let them eat barley bread and let them get their hopes up. And they're going to plant barley and wheat early in the year, every year, and we're going to think they're going to get the harvest, and they'll get the barley, and we're coming for the wheat. Now the Lord raised up a young man who had a heart for God. And the Lord said, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Again, if you have a heart for God, you are a mighty man of valor. You are a mighty woman of valor. And the Lord said to him, go in this your strength, and you will defeat the Midianites. What strength was the Lord talking about? Not about Gideon's personality and willpower and strength of character. The might that went into Gideon that day was the might of the Lord. For God said, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. You go in that strength. I am with you. You go in the word of the Lord, and you will see the victory that I will give to you and to your people. Surely I am with you, the Lord said, and you will smite the Midianites as one man. I'm going to give you an army of unity. You're going to smite the enemy as one man. I'm going to put people around you that are loyal to the vision, that understand the call of God. And despite the compromise and casualness and coolness of a nation, God says, I'm going to give you a people that will fight the battles of the Lord. You will be as one army. First thing the Lord told Gideon to do was kill the bull. Kill the family bull. Kill the bull market. Kill the prize bull that you're raising up to take care of you and the future. How you're going to manage your life and how it's going to unfold. Because there was this second bull in the family. It was a second bull of 7 years of age. Let's read about it. Judges 6:25. Now it came to pass the same night that the Lord said to him, take your father's young bull, the second bull of 7 years old, and tear down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the wooden image that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on top of this rock in the proper arrangement. You bring the offerings in an orderly way. And take the second bull and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the image, which you shall cut down. God says, I want you to kill the second bull of 7 years of age. Now that bull represented the future. That bull was the new sire. It wasn't long now, and the old bull was going to be put out to pasture. And this new second bull of 7 years in maximum strength would come and sire and bring forth prosperity for that family. There may have been an allusion to Egypt, the bull calf, the power of Egypt, the power of the world, a trust in the world system. As soon as God delivered his people out of Egypt, as soon as they forsook the Lord, as soon as they fainted in spirit, the first thing they did was build a golden calf. A trust in the world, and God saying, I want you to tear down the second bull. I want you to sacrifice that second bull. I want you to make me your future. You are my future, Lord. Not what I'm planning, not the prize bull that I'm raising. You are my future, and wherever you send me, I will go, and whatever you ask me to do, I will do. And with that, Gideon blew a trumpet. People gathered to him, and God showed him the characteristics of a Gideon army. The characteristics of a Gideon army. Number one tonight, hold on to faith, to a believing spirit. A Gideon army is a people that have a believing spirit. They hold on to faith. Judges chapter 7 and verse 3. Now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. And 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained. When Gideon blew a trumpet, not everyone came, but 32,000 came. And the Lord said, I need a certain kind of people. Gideon, say to the people, whoever is fearful and afraid, you can go home. And 22,000 out of 32,000 people melted away from the battlefield. It's not easy to believe God. It's not easy to take a stand of faith. It's not easy to go up against fears, anxieties, discouragements, disappointments. It's not easy to go up against the enemy intimidation that comes against our lives. The Bible says in Hebrews 4 and verse 2 that there was a people who had the word of God preached unto them, but they did not profit. It did not profit them because they did not mix it with faith. The word was preached to them, but it did not profit because it was not mixed with faith. You can sit under preaching week after week, but if it isn't mixed with faith, it will not profit. We have to mix the word of God with faith. You can have prophecies on your life, but if you don't mix faith with the word of the Lord that has come, it will not profit you. 32,000 people heard the same word of the Lord. They had the same promise of God of a victory, but 22,000 fell away. They didn't have a heart to believe God. They didn't have a persevering spirit. They didn't have a believing spirit. How important this is to the Lord and to us. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:19 that there are some who do not hold faith, and because of it, they make shipwreck. They wreck their ship. They ruin their lives. It's because he said they're not holding faith, a believing spirit. Now, I'm going to clarify that in just a moment. But God wants us to have that persistent believing spirit, no matter what we see, no matter what is taking place in our lives. Hebrews 11 and 6 says, without faith, it is impossible. It is impossible to please God. Now, I didn't put the word impossible in there. The Holy Spirit did. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. God cannot respond to our discouragement. He cannot respond to our negativity. He cannot respond to our complaint and our unbelief. It's against his nature. It's against the spirit of his kingdom. He responds to faith. Now, he'll come to us in our discouragement. He'll come to us in our unbelief. He'll come to us in our difficulty, but he doesn't respond to it. He responds to faith in our heart, and we have to build up a believing spirit. Say, well, how long do I have to believe? Well, till answer comes. Say, well, I've been believing for 2-3 years on something in my family or my finances or ministry or situations and circumstances. Well, Gideon was down to 5, 6, 7 years. You know, anyone can hold out for a year or two and manage. But when answer doesn't come for 3, 4, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, that separates the army. We must continue to believe God. You say, well, what if I die and I haven't seen the answer of the Lord? Then you died in faith, thank God. You died with a believing spirit. And you can join those people in Hebrews 11:39. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, God having some better thing for us. They died in faith. They did not see the answer to what they were crying out for God for, but they paved the way for the generations to come. And so will we. Even if we don't see the manifestation of what we're crying out to God for, we must hold a believing spirit. God says that is one of the characteristics of my army. Now there's a very important parable in Luke chapter 18, the story of the widow woman, and it shows us what God considers faith to be. Jesus gave us a very clear definition of faith. He said there was a widow woman, and her adversary was taking advantage of her. We all have the adversary, Satan, going about seeking whom he may devour. This widow woman said to the judge, and it was a parable and an illustration, it was an unjust judge that ruled the land. And she went to this unjust judge, and he wasn't concerned about her or giving proper justice. And she said, avenge me of my adversary. Avenge me of the enemy. Give me justice. Give me what is my right and my inheritance. And the unjust judge pushed her aside, wouldn't respond to her. But what did Jesus say? She kept coming. She kept coming. She kept saying, avenge me of my adversary. Avenge me of my adversary. Give me justice. And finally, that unjust judge said, this widow woman is wearying me. And he gave her the justice that she needed and that she deserved. Now Jesus said, will God not come to his people, though they cry unto him day and night? Sometimes we cry unto the Lord day and night. In the daytime, the need of our heart, the cry of our heart goes before the Lord. We wake up in the night, and the need of our life, the difficulty, the problem is on our heart, and we're crying out to the Lord. But Jesus said these words, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? And Jesus told us in that parable what faith is. Faith is a believing spirit. Faith is that spirit of that widow woman, impoverished, in difficulty, needing justice. And she just kept coming. She just kept coming. And she kept asking. And she kept pressing. And she wouldn't leave the situation alone. She kept a believing spirit. Jesus said, if an unjust judge gave sentence, how much more will the judge of the whole earth, who always does right, avenge his people in their proper time? There's a difference between the answer of faith and faith. The answer that comes with faith is an answer, but it's not the faith. The faith leads to the answer, and the faith is a believing spirit. If we want to be part of this Gideon army, we have to hold to faith. We have to hold to faith. Even at the loss of our lives, even at the death of our lives, we will believe God. We will stand in faith and mix faith in with the Word of God and believe the Lord. The Gideon army was an army of believing spirit. Number two, put water to your mouth and keep an eye on the enemy. Put water to your mouth and keep an eye on the enemy. What a characteristic of this army. Judges 7, verses 5 to 6. So Gideon brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps from the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. You shall set apart these people. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink. And the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men, but all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink water. Gideon Springs is still flowing by Mount Gilboa, south of the Esdraelon Plain. You can go there today and you can take some water, cup it in your hand and lap water like a dog. See, I didn't think that the way you drank water was that important. Well, to God it is. We have to drink the right way if we want to be part of this Gideon's army. 9,700 out of 10,000 did not drink in a proper way, and God said, I've got to send them home. Now, God doesn't want to send anyone home in the Salvation Army today. He doesn't want to send anyone home. He wants every person to be a first-class soldier of Jesus Christ, as the Word says. But we have to learn how to drink properly. We have to learn how to put the water to our mouth and get refreshing and keep an eye out on the enemy at the same time. If we don't know how to get refreshing, we will not last long in the battle. The Lord says, I need you to know how to drink water, and I know you need to know how to watch the enemy and be careful. Watch and pray. And so we need to know how to drink the water, how to lap the water. Tongues of praise and tongues of prayer. Worship warriors and prayer partners. Some among God's people don't know how to drink properly. They still say, I worship the Lord in my own way. They still say, I pray in my comfort zone. But God says, I need a right kind of people. I need a people who know how to put the water to their mouth, tongues of praise and tongues of prayer, and get the refreshing. And are able to persist in the battle. See, 9,700 of the 10,000 let their guard down. They just got down on their knees and began to drink. And you know how the scripture says so many times, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Keep an eye out against the enemy. Don't be unguarded. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. Watch and pray lest the enemy take advantage of you. Give no place to the devil. Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You mean all day long I have to take every thought into captivity, discern every thought and feeling that comes to my life? God says, if you want to walk in victory and you want to be part of a Gideon army, that's the way it is for you. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Make mention that his name is exalted. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion. Sing unto the Lord. How do we drink the waters of God? We drink the waters of God by being those praise and worship warriors. By coming according to the word of God with singing, with shouting, with clapping, with lifted hands, with release, with celebration in his presence. That's how we drink the waters of God. That's how we get the refreshing. And in that is our praise warfare. With the high praises, the militant praises of God in our mouth and the two-edged sword, we will conquer our enemies. My, what a deliverance. In this realm, there's a miracle in your mouth. There's a miracle in your mouth. Tongues of praise and tongues of prayer. The Apostle Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all. And I read his life on the pages of the Bible, and I can say, I can see the prophet that you brought, that it brought to your life. I speak in tongues more than you all. Listen, some of you are not speaking in tongues enough. Try speaking in tongues 15 to 20 minutes a day and see what happens to your life in the weeks and months to come. Say, I'm going to lap water. I'm going to drink water. Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 28, verses 11 and 12. And he said, with stammering lips, he was speaking for God. He said, with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak unto this people. And he said, this is the rest wherewith the weary will rest, And this is the refreshing. Don't miss his last phrase. God said, yet they would not hear. With stammering lips and another tongue, with supernatural voice, with supernatural praise, with supernatural intercession, with cries and longings of the Holy Spirit, and the power of the Holy Spirit pouring through my people, God says, in prayer and worship, with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people, and in that they will find their rest, and in that they will find their refreshing. But God says, yet they would not hear. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be part of that phrase, yet they will not hear. I want to say, Lord, I'm going to learn to drink water the way your word has ordained. You're seeking for the true worshipers, those who will worship you in spirit and in truth. And you are searching for intercessors, for prayer warriors, for people who will cry out and long after your presence and your ways. For the Bible teaches that God is seeking two things. He's seeking true worshipers, and he's seeking for men and women who will make up the hedge and stand in the gap so that he can pour out his spirit and his life. We have to learn how to drink the waters of God. Drink the waters of God. Learn to praise the Lord. Learn to shout unto God. Learn to sing and dance and celebrate and lift your hands. Learn to pray in the Spirit. We believe in this church in the Pentecostal charismatic outpouring, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, where supernatural tongues, language of the Spirit flows through us, language that is not common or native to us. On the day of Pentecost, when God birthed the New Testament church, 120 people in the upper room, every one of them received a tongue of fire. Fire leaps in the form of a tongue, but notice the inference. Everyone received a tongue of fire, and out of them began to flow supernatural praise and worship and prayer and longing after the Lord. Every one of us is responsible for our own tongue of fire. We have to tend our own tongue of fire. God says, I want a people that know how to drink, that know how to keep their eye on the enemy and stay alert in this battle. These are the warriors that'll bring victory to the land. And number three tonight, light the torch and blow the trumpet. This company had to light the torch and blow the trumpet. Judges 7:20, then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers, the earthen vessels, the clay jars. They held the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands for blowing. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And you need to put your name where Gideon's name is. The sword of the Lord, and put your name in there. Get bold for Jesus Christ. Get bold and get militant against the enemy. God needs people who are going to light the torches that are inside of them and blow the trumpets. Get the breath of God in your lips and blow the trumpet, that prophetic sound. Now we have to break the earthen vessel. We have to break our reluctance. We have to break our normal responses. We have to break our personality. We have to break our inhibitions. This is not something that is easy. But it's like, in another picture, Mary and that fragrant spikenard. That fragrant spikenard was in that flask, and it wasn't until it was broken that it was able to be poured out on Jesus and the fragrance filled the room. And when it comes to us as an army, we need to be able to break open our life and light the torch of God, and that torch is zeal for the Lord. That torch is zeal for the Lord. A life on fire. People that are excited about the kingdom. People that are on fire when they come to the prayer room. People that are on fire when they come into the worship. People that are on fire to talk about the Lord and do His will. We need that enthusiasm, that God enthusiasm. We need that excitement for the Lord. And the Bible says this is a mark of the Gideon army. They are people that know how to break open their flesh life, break open their struggles, Break open their intimidation and let the zeal of God begin to shine forth. Torches of fire, torches of fire. Stir up the gift of God. Get more excited. How many say tonight, I could do with a little more zeal in my life. I could show a little more excitement. I could show a little more expression of the Holy Spirit fire that's burning in my life. I'm encouraging you and telling you that God values it tonight from His Word. And then blow that trumpet, that prophetic voice, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. We must break the silence. We must break the silence. There is victory for every one of us. But it's locked up inside. And if we don't light the torch and we don't blow the trumpet, that's where that victory is. It's the potential. It's resident inside of us. But we need to break the silence and blow the trumpet and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. In my observance, North American Christians are far too passive. You have to get aggressive with the enemy. When Jesus dealt with Satan, He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan!" Exclamation mark in your Bible. Wasn't some little timid, hope the devil leaves me alone. "Get thee behind me, Satan." That's how you have to talk to him. Another part he said, "Away with you, Satan." When Jesus was in church, I mean the synagogue, and sometimes there was a demonic manifestation, the Bible says he sharply rebuked those unclean spirits. He sharply rebuked the demonic spirits and said, "Be released. Come out of him." You have to talk to the devil. You have to speak in power. You have to speak in the authority of the Lord. When Jesus faced the enemy, and the Bible says, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." Submit to God. Submit to God. Then resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And the only way we can resist the devil is to follow the example of our Lord. When the enemy brought temptation against him, every time he spoke out, "It is written, it is written, it is written." All of us face warfare throughout our days. Sometimes you'll wake up in the morning and there's warfare, or during the day, and we must learn to be militant and say, "Get thee behind me, Satan. I come against you, enemy. I come against this thought." And you quote the word of God. This is such a powerful principle. But the enemy wants to keep us in silence. He wants to keep us locked up in ourselves because he knows the authority of this realm. We must learn to cry, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon, the sword of the Lord, and of your name." And in that will be a victory that you will be amazed at in your life. Don't look at the culture around. Many people in the houses of God are so non-involved, stand with hands in pockets, looking out at the screen, singing a little bit perhaps. Listen, the Lord, there's a victory for that Gideon army. Those that will say, "I will put a trumpet to my mouth and I'm going to declare the word of the Lord and I'm going to shout unto God." Psalm 47 and 1 says, "Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph." I didn't make up those words, the Lord did. He expects every person that's a born-again Christian to know how to clap their hands and shout unto God with a voice of triumph, because he knows there's victory in it. He wants to bless his people. He wants to get us off barley bread and back to the wheat of the kingdom, the principal wheat, so we live in the land flowing with milk and honey, living in the goodness of the Lord. Clap your hands, all ye people. When you clap your hands, you're saying scat to the enemy. You are striking against the enemy, and he has to flee from you. And we shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. That's where our triumph is. When David overcame the giant Goliath, the Bible says, when he brought down that giant, that the men of Judah, the men of Israel, shouted and pursued the enemy. They shouted and pursued the enemy. The shout came back and they pursued the enemy. We know Joshua 6 and 20, where the people were commanded to walk around the walls of Jericho. Those impossible walls that could not be brought down by these people of God. But God said, you march around those walls 7 days, and seven times on the seventh day. There was a lot of preparation out front. But God said, there's going to be one thing that brings down those walls. On that seventh day, when you've gone around seven times, when I give the command, I want you to shout. And when those people of God shouted, when they shouted, the Bible says, it's specific, when they shouted, the walls came down. The walls came down and they took the city. This is more powerful than our natural mind can understand, or sometimes definitely than it can reason. This is beyond reason. This is kingdom warfare. These are the ways of the Lord, but they bring the profit of God to our lives. They bring profit to our lives. I want to encourage you tonight to be part of that Gideon army. This is something worth living for. This is something worth dying for. To walk with God in this kind of manner. To walk with God in this kind of an army. This is the greatest life. This is the greatest that we can be part of in the kingdom of God. And tonight, I'd like you to close your eyes, bow your heads for a moment. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart. We're all like Gideon. We're unsure of ourselves, in ourselves. But the Lord says, I am with you, you mighty man of valor, you woman of valor. If you have a heart for God, you are a woman, you are a man of valor. Help me tonight say, I need to take on more of a believing spirit. Put up your hand if that's you. Say, I need to persist like that widow woman. I've been so focused on the answer, and when the answer isn't there, I get discouraged. But God said, you don't consider the answer. You keep a believing spirit, and in due season you will reap if you faint not. Man ought always to pray and not to faint. If we faint, we won't reap. But the Bible says if we faint not, we will reap in the due season, in the timing of the Lord, whenever that is. And that season is up to God. But till then, I will have a persisting spirit. I will have a believing spirit. I will hold to faith. Thank you for your hands. Whatever area you're facing tonight, it might be a family relationship, it might be financial areas, it might be a struggle in your personality, it might be a struggle in your home in some way. You're believing God for things. Don't give up. I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Not in heaven, not when I die. I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The believing to see the goodness of the Lord has to overcome our fainting. It has to be stronger in us than the discouragement, than the unbelief, than the pressure that comes against our life. We're going to believe God. We're going to believe His Word. How many tonight say, I need to learn to drink the living water like the Bible says. I'm one of those people you talk about, Pastor, that worships God in my own way, and I pray in what I'm comfortable with, but you know, tonight I'm going to set my heart to being a praise and worship warrior. I'm going to come according to the Word of God with His ways and His Spirit, His manners of worship, and I'm going to pour out my life in other tongues and supernatural prayer. And I'm going to get alongside some prayer warriors that know how to pray so I can learn to pray and carry that anointing in my life. Release the power of God. Thank you for those hands. Tonight, Lord, we lift up our hearts and our voices. You are so great and wonderful. Thank you, Lord, that you have chosen us, Lord, and we can be a part of your great army and part of your great purpose. Bring deliverance, O God. And so, Lord, we stand in faith. We stand, Lord, in worship and prayer. We stand with torches of fire. We stand with a trumpet to our lips, O God, to declare your name, the sword of the Lord. and of Gideon. Amen. Let's stand tonight. Let's stand tonight. I have one simple call tonight. There may be some people here that have never joined the Gideon army. Maybe you're compromised. Maybe you're held back by many things. But tonight, you've seen the vision of the Lord. You've seen the word of the Lord to say, I want to give my life to be part of God's army. I want to follow him with all my heart. I want to serve him with all my strength. Maybe you've never responded to the Lord before, or there's been lukewarmness that has taken over your heart. But tonight you're saying, I want to be part of that army, Lord. I want to be part of the 300. Would you step out from where you are and come to the front tonight? We'd like to pray a prayer over you. You say, that is me. I want to be this person. I'm going to cast aside my inhibitions. I'm going to cast aside those traditions. I'm going to cast aside the peer pressure. I'm going to cast aside the culture and the compromise. I want to serve God with all my heart. If that's you and you've never responded before, you come down to this altar and give your life to the Lord in a fresh way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord.